a Russia that is financially suspect. We're on Daf Kaf Zayin Amud Aleph 27a, middle of the page. So in this sugya that we finished yesterday, we first tried to reject the opinion of Rava and say, actually Rava, I have a brighter which looks like it confirms that the qualification, the criteria for being disqualified is not a financial matter. Why not? Because we had a brighter that said that those who are disqualified of witnesses are robbers and those who break oaths. Robbers, we understand, that's a financial matter, but those who break oaths, doesn't that suggest that it's not a financial issue? So the Gemara answered, no, we can even say this follows Rava, because those who break oaths are those who break financial oaths. Right? Those who lie on financial matters. Someone who says that he takes an oath that that this is really gold when it's not gold, or that this is worth 500 shekel and it's not really worth that. Like, he's lying on a financial matter. So for that reason, he is disqualified. So it can still follow Rava. Right, so the end of that sugya says, there's two types of mamon that two types of oath that the sugya mentioned. And we can say that they both refer to monetary oaths. My shvuot, and why does the writer use the plural shvuot if they're just one type of oath? Right? Why not say it in the singular? Why say shvuot? Doesn't that tend to mean there's two types of oaths? It's in the plural. The writer says no. Shvuot da'alma just means oaths generally, meaning plural oaths. There's different types of monetary oaths, and that's why it uses the plural. We can't use the fact that you use the plural as a proof, not a conclusive proof anyway, that it means different types of oath, not also monetary and also others. It can mean all monetary oaths, and there's a few different types of monetary oaths, and that's why it's in the plural. Okay. Next, Meitvei. There's another challenge. This time it's a challenge to Abai. Good morning, Rabbi Eliezer. Look at the top. So, back to our pasukim. Al teshet rasha ed. Don't make a rasha to be a witness. Al teshet chamas ed, and don't make a chamas, a person who's a robber, to be a witness. This writer says different. Elu gazlanim umalvei ribiot. These are robbers and those who lend money on interest. Right? So we see from this writer that they're both cases of monetary impropriety. And the Gemara says, therefore, from this writer, tiyuvta da'abai tiyuvta. What's a tiyuvta? Tiyuvta is a refutation. It's a winning full house, straight flush, whatever you're playing, ace high, whatever, right? It's a tiyuvta, where the Gemara has different words. Kasha, the difficulty, it's a problem, right? Tiyuvta means a refutation. How do you say that in Hebrew? it cancels, it wins. The argument, right? This be Abai and Rava Amorayim. If we have a brighter or a Mishnah that goes against them and that can't be challenged, then that will knock out their opinion. So this effectively comes to knock out Abai. It's a knockout blow. We're going to see it's not in a minute, but But initially, the Gemara says, normally when you see tiyufta, it's a final tiyufta. We're going to come back later on and say it's not only why, because we have another Tanaic source. So you're right, this brayta, the Gemara is going to say, does knock him out completely. But I've got another Tana who can bring him back, right? That he can hold by, a different Tana, and not this brayta. But so far, this brayta would appear to refute Abai's opinion. So that's why the Gemara over here says tiyufta da Abai tiyufta, right? We cancel out at this point Abai. Why do we cancel him out? So this was puzzling me. We just had a brayta here, and the brayta says, who are those, what is this, who are the people who are disqualified? So it's robbers and those who lend on interest. But in the previous sugya, we had another brayta, and it said, who are those? It's robbers and people who take oaths, people who break oaths. So the previous brayta was fine with Abai. Right? We could explain the previous brayta we used as evidence for Abai, that he was right, because we see from that previous brayta, it's not only monetary matters, also people who are robbers, and also people who break oaths. So that fits very nicely with Abai. Right? So he's got it there, a brayta that he can support. So the Gemara now comes and says, no, I show you a different brayta that goes against him. And then having brought this second brayta, the Gemara seems to say, fine, there you go, refuted, knocked out the water. But what happened to that previous brayta? Right, why ignore it? So that was a question that was troubling me. So, possible answers are like this. First of all, the last brayta we said didn't. You could understand it not like Abai. You could understand it like Rava, to say that the oaths were monetary oaths, in which case it's not like Abai. Right? It doesn't mean other types of sin. But we can also say that this brayta, why does it? The other problem with this brayta is, so what? The brayta gave me two cases, and both cases happen to be financial. But that means it's there's nothing else. We know there are other cases. We learn other cases. This is not a complete list. So how can I say that these two cases is a complete refutation of Abai, when I've seen that there are other cases elsewhere? So this is not a complete list. Not the brayta is telling me these two are the only two types. So then we could explain it like this. The fact that the brayta only gave two types is indicative that the Tana was teaching a rule. If it gives one, from one you can't learn a rule. It's just an example. If it gives a whole list, then this is the entire list and there's nothing else. But if you're giving two, dafka two, then you're teaching a rule by the commonality of those two. What have these two things got in common? If there's a long list of possibilities in this category, who are the people that are disqualified? So we know there's a list of about 10 different people that are disqualified. So either I have to teach you all of them, or I have to teach you enough that you could, because there's no point teaching just two randomly. I'm going to teach you two random. Why does that help? In fact, it doesn't help you at all, unless that you learn out from those two the whole thing. So
they have to have something in common.
Right, so then here you can say that the fact that it taught you only two, and that they're both financially based, you can see from here that the Tana gives a ruling that the criteria has to be financial. Does that make sense? The previous one also had to be giving a category. It wasn't giving two random cases just to teach. You know, a Tana comes along and teaches two random cases just for the sake of. He's teaching a rule by giving two cases. So how do we? So what was the possibility? So in the last brayta we tried to say that the Tana, the first option was Tana gave us two different cases, one mammon and one not mammon, to teach you that it could be either. you're disqualified in either monetary or non-monetary. We wanted to say that. That's why he gave you two cases. But then we brought it back and said, no. Those both cases can be seen to be monetary. But here in this brighter, there's only an option to see monetary. You can't argue that that's not monetary. They're both monetary. Interest, taking interest when you're not allowed to, is a monetary sin. And robbing, obviously, is a monetary gain. So from here, we're now apparently proving, certainly from the basis of this brighter, we're proving that this Tana holds not like Abai. This Tana holds like Rava, that it has to be a financial mismanagement, a financial impropriety, in order to disqualify a person from being a witness.
So then eating treif could be under that category, given the extreme difference between kosher and non-kosher meat.
Only if that was the reason, which is why in the previous sugya about eating treif, there was two options. If he was eating treif because it was a monetary, he couldn't get hold, it was less expensive, and that's why he was eating it, so he could also be disqualified, even according to this ruling. Why? Because it's still a financial problem.
Right,
but if he's eating treif because he's rebelling against Hashem, it's not a financial issue.
Right,
and therefore, according to Rabbi, you're not disqualified.
Wouldn't it be easier to prove the first part rather than the second part?
Proving, I don't know how to prove those things. Proving one, I don't know. It could be. I don't know how you prove. I don't know how you prove whether it's for Teyavon or Kizyang. You can say whatever. Because you just ask the guy, why did you eat that piece of bacon? Was it because you were hungry? Because you didn't want to pay the price of a decent piece of kosher meat? Or because you were rebelling against Hashem? How are you going to know? He's going to tell you whatever he's going to tell you.
I mean, there's a kosher market and a treif market.
No, but you don't know why this particular guy is eating it. You're right. There is now, right now, there's a kosher market and a treif market. And kosher meat is more expensive. But does that mean that everybody that's eating non-kosher meat is only doing it because of the cost? No, for sure not. There are some who are dafka doing it to make a point. They're wealthy enough and they can afford to buy kosher meat, and they're like, but it's not top. Okay. Now, next bit is a little bit more difficult. First bit wasn't. So, hope we all had our cornflakes this morning. So, now we want to say like this. So let's just put on our basic. What we have our starting point is Abai and Rava. Abai and Rava were still arguing, although we had a Tiyokta, and at this point, normally in the Gemara, it's time to go on to something else. Right? We've got to the end of the we've found out who we go by. Because ultimately, so that's what the Gemara is trying to do in each case, right? It's trying to work out what the halakha is. We have an opinion A, opinion B. And when you get to a tiyum, so you're done, you're finished. But we're not finished. So we've still got Abai and Rava. Right? And the two opinions, Abai says, any rasha is disqualified from being a witness. Right? That's how he understands the pasuk. The pasuk says a rasha is good. Rabbi says no. Financial. Only financial rasha is disqualified. Right? That's our machloket that's running throughout the. Throughout this, right? And any Russia or financial Russia, right? That's our two different opinions of how to understand the Torah. What's the Torah trying to teach us in that passage? Okay. Now we thought we sided with Rabbah, but we're not done. Because the Gemara is going to say like this: Neima Kitanai. Let's say actually this Abai and Rabbah dispute. Remember, they're Amorayim. Right, that they come later. Let's say that this dispute is Katanai, is actually a Tanaic argument. So Abai and Rava are actually just repeating a Tanaic argument. The Tanaim had the same two opinions, and Abai and Rava are just following one each. One Abai follows one Tana, and Rava follows another Tana. If it's that obvious, you might be asking yourself, so why didn't we just bring the Tanaic argument to start with? Why do we need to deal with the lower down people? Let's bring the big guns and we'll argue it out at the top level, not down here. So the reason is because we don't have the argument explicitly in the Tanaim. What we're going to see now is we're going to try and infer from other Tanaic statements that there is a Tana that probably holds this way and there's a Tana that probably holds that way. But it's not clear. So because it's not clear, they don't actually argue on this specific point that Abai and Rabba do. So we've got Abai and Rabba's argument on this exact point where it's spelled out. Now we're going to try and bring in Tanaic sources which aren't so clear to say maybe this was actually the source of their argument. So what's the Tanaic source that we're going to look at? So the Tana, the Braita that we're going to look at is like this. Eid Zomem. Maktar Eid Zomem. Eid Zomem. An Eid, a witness that has been falsified later on. He gave testimony. Two witnesses came along and say, you can't, you gave false testimony. How do I know? Because you were with us on that day and that date when you said that you saw that murder take place. You couldn't have been there. You're lying. It's not that they say, two witnesses come along and say, we were there too, and we saw everything, and you're lying. So fine, that's two different witnesses, two against two, and we take whoever we want. But witnesses come along specifically against these two and say, you were not there, you were with us on that day and date. You couldn't have been there. I don't know what this murder case is all about. I've got no evidence to give in that case whatsoever. But I'm testifying against you personally that you were not there, because you were with me. That's a Zomem witness. He is disqualified from being a witness in future cases once he's proven to be a lying witness. So it's obvious that we're not going to take him in any other case. But it's not so clear. Why not? We've got a machloket. Well, Breiter brings a machloket on that issue. Eid Zomem pasul lekol haTorah kula. Right, the Breiter says, an Eid Zomem is pasul for kol haTorah kula. What does that mean, kol haTorah kula? It means any case, any future case. If you're an Eid Zomem in a case of witnessing someone stealing an apple from a supermarket, I was there, I saw him steal the apple, and you're standing in front of the baked in. Tuesday morning, that guy over there stole an apple. Later on, someone comes along and says, testifies in the Beit Din, he's a false witness. He says he was in the supermarket watching and he saw it happen. He was with me. We were down the pub having a beer. He wasn't there. He's an Eid Zomem. What happens to him? Torah says, what you tried to do to him gets done to you. So if, as a result of that testimony, he would have had to pay 5 shekel for the whatever it was. So now we fine the guy 5 shekel. And if it was a murder case, we kill him. Whatever. If it's a murder case, then this wouldn't happen because we wouldn't have a question about him being a witness again because he's now dead. But if it's not a case, it's one of those other cases where he got a different punishment. So he's now an Eid Zomem. So the Braita says he is pasul from the kol haTorah kula, any other case. Even though he witnessed, lied about stealing from a supermarket, he's forbidden, he's disqualified from being in any other Torah case, including, for example, a capital crime. Even though he only lied in a small matter of 5 shekels, I don't believe him and say, well, maybe he probably won't lie in a serious case. He's disqualified from everything. That's the... I'm not there yet. That's just the initial opening. I'm about to change it.
No, but I have a question.
Go on.
Would he be disqualified for weddings and documents?
Wedding, yes. Kol haTorah, Torah kula, means yes.
Yeah.
The entire Torah. Right, when we say he's disqualified as a witness, we mean he's disqualified both as a witness in a court case and from being a witness in any other area. For example, signing on a document. That's also the same witnessing, the same case that he's also disqualified from. So the Braita says, that's the opening of the Braita, but that's one opinion. Divrei Rabbi Meir. But that's Rabbi Meir's opinion. Rabbi Meir's opinion, therefore, is, let's just put that up. Rabbi Meir says, right, this is our writer, Rabbi Meir. We're going to see in the Braita two different opinions, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi.
Rabbi Meir says, so the writer says, if the writer says, if you're a zomer, right? If you're a zomer, then Rabbi Meir says you're disqualified from all cases. Right? That's Rabbi Meir's opinion. Rabbi Yossi disagrees with him and says no. Rabbi Yossi says, Rabbi Yossi Omer, b'madvarim amorim, when does this law apply? Huzam b'dinei nefashot. Aval huzam b'dinei mamanot kasher l'dinei nefashot. He says, no, I disagree. You're right, you're disqualified from all cases, but only if it will happen to be in a capital crime. Rabbi Yossi says disqualified from all only if zomer in a capital crime. But if zomer in a civil matter disqualified only from civil cases, right? Not capital ones, right? What are we saying? Rabbi Meir is easy to understand. Rabbi Meir says once you lied in any case, you're disqualified completely from all other cases. Rabbi Yossi says no. If there's a difference between a capital crime and a civil matter, if you were disqualified in a civil matter, so you're now not trustworthy in other civil matters, but the higher level capital crimes, yeah, then I have no reason to distrust you. Right? In civil matters, yeah, you've shown yourself to be not trustworthy in civil matters, but I don't extrapolate that and say you're also not trustworthy in serious capital crimes. We're going to see why the Gemara spells out the difference, what's the difference between civil and capital, that you would think it's just because they're more serious, it's getting a bigger punishment, well, what the difference is. But there's a difference between them that we're going to come on to. Right? But if you happen to be a zomer in a capital crime, how come they haven't killed you in a different thing yet? Right? You would be disqualified from all lower cases too. Right? Because that's the stronger one, like a Kal v'chomer. If you're disqualified in the bigger one, you're also disqualified in the lower one. But if you're disqualified in the lower one, you're not necessarily disqualified in the bigger one. That's the Rabbi Yossi, makes that difference. Rabbi Meir says no. I don't consider that the difference between the cases allows you to be qualified in one and not to the other. If you're disqualified in one, you're disqualified in both. So there's no difference. Okay, so that's the brighter that we're now going to look at to suggest that this is the source of our argument about between Abba and Rava. Right? We're going to now match them up. But before we do that, any questions on this brighter, just on the brighter itself? Capital means capital crimes means death sentence. Doesn't mean only death sentences. It means usually means death sentences. Nefashot, right? Nefashot and mammon. Nefashot. This is mammon. That's the loose. Not all civil matters are mammon, right? A divorce case, right? Usually even around money, but right, it's called mammon. Right, they're the terms, mammon, civil and nefashot.
So if you, so the brighter is talking about where were you disqualified? What type of case did you become a zomem? If you became a zomem in a capital crime, then they both agree, right? They both agree in a capital crime, you're disqualified from everything. If you were lied in a murder trial, they both agree, right? Rav Meir and Rav Yossi both agree, you're disqualified from everything. Where do they argue? Only if you became a zomem in a civil crime. Rav Meir says you became zomem in a civil crime, you're disqualified from everything. Rav Yossi says no, you became zomem in a civil crime, civil matter, you're only disqualified from civil matters. I don't disqualify you from the higher level cases. Yeah? Ruben, it's good. Eliezer, good.
I'm just wondering, even if you're not disqualified from a capital crime, if they knew that you were convicted from a civil case, wouldn't they be more careful about their examining your testimony?
They probably would, but you're not. Here we're talking about halacha of whether or not you're disqualified, whether or not you can give valid testimony. They can choose not to. I don't think they can choose not to accept you as a witness or not to accept your witness statement. But you're not. The point here is it's not invalid testimony. If it happened to be that somebody gave testimony in this event, so we'd have to look, was that testimony valid? So it's still valid, according to Rabbi Yossi anyway. We don't throw out the testimony automatically according to the halakha.
But they take it with a grain of salt.
Yeah, why not? But, you know, someone who lied or already lied in court. Am I not... But it's not what... I'm not trying to work out here what's useful. I'm trying to work out here what does Hashem want from me. Who does Hashem want me to disqualify being a witness, and who does he not want? I'm not trying to work out practical, useful things that help out the procedural running of the court. This will be helpful. This won't be helpful. Let's get all witnesses to give a CV of their family history. It's nice, it's very nice, it's very helpful. Let's do it, but it has no relation to what Hashem wants. Hashem hasn't spoken about filling in forms. Right? It might be helpful, it might be good, it might want to do it. But,
right,
but here we're just trying to do, well, what does Hashem, does Hashem want this person to be disqualified or not?
If you're a slave, you're disqualified.
Yeah, because Hashem wants to. Regardless of whether it makes sense logically, illogically, it's good for me, it's not good for me. I'm trying to work out what God wants from the Torah.
And later on they'll say a mumzer and a kaver is disqualified for certain cases.
Okay. So here we're trying to work out what happens if someone has been disqualified as a zomem. What do we do with them? What's the halachic response to that person? So Rabbi Meir says the halachic response should be that once you're a zomem, doesn't matter what case you were zomem in. And Rabbi Yossi says it does matter. There's a difference between, there's a significant difference between capital and civil matters, and civil matters are lower. And if you're disqualified in a civil case, then you're disqualified from other civil cases, but not automatically disqualified from capital cases. Tov, that's the brayta. Now the Gemara says, let's say that this is a source or a replication, or actually this is the original, this is the source, it's not replication. Right? This is a source of our argument between Abba and Rabba. Right? What did Abba and Rabba say? Let's just throw ourselves back into that. Abba said, who's disqualified from being a witness? Anyone who's a rasha. Any type of rasha. You eat trace meat, maybe other things too, we didn't look at other things. Right? But Rabba said no. Rabba says it's limited to a type of rasha, which is a rasha of financial matters. So now the Gemara is going to spell out, and we're going to try and match up Abai and Rabba to each one gets to follow one of their tanners, right? Their hero, they've got the football cards, they've got the poster on the wall. Abai's poster, Rabbi, is Rabbi Meir. A rabbi is following Rabbi Yossi. That's what the Gemara is going to suggest now. Abai is following Rabbi Meir. A rabbi is following Rabbi Yossi. That's what we're going to try and say.
Why?
So the Gemara is going to give us the connection between the two. Why is Abai like Rabbi Meir? So Neima Abai Karabi Meir, Rabba Karabi Yossi. Let's say the Gemara says that Abai is really like Rabbi Meir, and Rabba is really like Rabbi Yossi. Why? Why do we say that? Abai Karabi Meir. Why is Abai like Rabbi Meir? The Amar, because he says, Amrinan Mikula Lachumra. He is like Rabbi Meir, who says that the Kula, that we can learn from a Kula to a Chumrah. We can learn from a Kula to a Chumrah. What does he mean? So we said that we have capital crimes and civil cases. Capital crimes is the Chumrah, and civil cases is the Kula, right? The more severe and the less severe. So Abai is like Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says you can learn from a Kula to a Chumrah. Even though you were dealing with a person who was messed up in the Kula case, I can still imply that he's disqualified in a Chumrah case. I can learn from a Kula to a Chumrah, according to this logic. And that, says the Gemara, is like Abai. Abai is also doing the same thing when he says any Masha. Why? Because eating the Vela, we'll take the case that we were dealing with, eating the Vela, eating trace meat, is a Kula, as opposed to the Chumra of financial matters. And I can learn, said, well, we'll see one in a second, but just to spell it out. The Kula of Nevela, right, let's put that over here. Nevela is our Kula, and money, of course money matters, is our Chumrah. Well, we'll see why that's a Kula and a Chumrah in a minute, right? And Abai says that an Avela, I'm also learning out, is disqualified just like a Chumrah. No, he says the other way around. I've got that backwards. He says the. No, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Sorry. The Vela. The Vela. The Vela. And the Vela.
The second case, the Kuma is the one.
The what?
In the other case, the Kula is the one.
We'll go one step further, and we're going to see now why is the Vela Kula and money Chumrah? Because the Gemara is going to say like this. The Gemara itself is going to say that what's the difference between capital crimes and civil cases that is comparable to these? Why we can make this? How we can make this analogy is because they both have something in common. Right? There's a commonality there. What's that?
Begin with the letter C.
What?
Begin with the letter C.
Yeah, that's it. Is
one is lenient and one's more severe.
Yeah, but why is it more severe and one more lenient?
You could lose your head over one and lose your money on the other.
Right, so the Gemara says like this. Like, halakhically speaking,
capital
No. Well, you could say a quart of 3 versus a quart of 21.
No, so it says like this. It says money. Right. Yeah. Money cases is a question of going against Hashem and man, whereas we'll call it Nevela, which is the other type, is going against Hashem only. Right, and that's what makes it more severe. This is also going against man, and this is, it's going against Hashem too, but this Nevela case is only against between Adam and Makom, only between person and Hashem. So this is more strict, because this is someone who's breaking, who's going against man too, stealing from another person, who's going against both. So this is included in this. This is the Kal v'Chomer. This is the Kul and the Chumrah. Because this is included in this. Right? This is already inside there. He's going against Hashem. But this is now a wider category. It's more severe because you're going against Hashem and man.
So for example, that would be the slippery slope of eating treif, violating Shabbos, cheating on your taxes.
No, one at a time. We're doing them separately. Separately.
No, I mean like a slippery slope.
It is, but each one has to be dealt with separately, because separately they have a difference.
Okay, so, okay, eating treif
is a question of going against Hashem, but it's not going against the person.
Adultery.
That's a completely different case. That's going against the... That is now in the different category.
And then cheating on your taxes.
Yeah, very nice. What we're trying to look at here is how this fits in with how this understanding now ties together the two cases, the Braita and Al Gemara of Abai, who holds that any Rasha is disqualified. Why does he hold that any Rasha is disqualified? Because he holds that even a Rasha that only goes against Hashem and doesn't go against man is also disqualified. He learns from the Kula to the Chumrah. Even someone who only goes against Hashem, whereas Rabba says no, you need both. You need the strict case of going against Hashem and going against a person in order to be disqualified. And if you only have one of them, you can't learn out the same rule. Meaning, I can't learn out the Kula from the Chumrah. I can't go from a Kula to a Chumrah. I understand that this Chumrah is disqualified, but doesn't allow me to accept a lower form of sin. This is the disqualified case that the Torah told me. The one who goes against Hashem and man. So if the Torah told me the Chumrah, I can't introduce Kulas. I can't go down the chain and say these are also disqualified, because it's a lower level. But Rabbi Meir says you can. Rabbi Meir says if you were zomer in a capital case, you can also in a civil case. If you were zomer in a lower case, you're going to be disqualified from both. You can learn out one from the other. You can lump them all together, that these come as a package. And if you've got one, you're disqualified. That's Rabbi Meir's argument. If you were to zomem in any case, you're going to, even if you were zomem in a lower case, you're now going to be disqualified from the higher case. And Rabbi Yossi says, no, I don't agree with that. If you were zomem in a lower case, it doesn't mean that you're disqualified from a higher case. We don't because there's a difference between civil matters, which are only against Hashem. So, strong doesn't work with civil and capital, etc. From lower matters and higher matters. Let's call it lower and higher. You can't go from lower to higher.
Lower would also mean matters that are only against man. That's also cool. It's only against man, not against Hashem.
But when we take it into the actual case of capital and civil, then the man and Hashem don't. It's not the. We don't use the same criteria. Here we only use this going against man and Hashem in the case of distinguishing between money and nevela. But only to show one's a chumrah, one's a kula. This is also one's a kula, one's a chumrah, but not for the same reasons. The different reasons for a kula and a chumrah, but we're keeping the logic of their thought process, and that's what we're saying gives them the. We can follow each one as a result of their hashkafa. What we do with chumrah and kula. Do I allow you to jump from a cooler into a chumrah or not?
So by you saying it could be either a cooler or a chumrah?
Yeah, it doesn't matter which one.
And Rabbi Meir is saying, same thing.
Doesn't matter if it's a cooler or a chumrah. You're disqualified from all, and Abai said, it doesn't matter if you're from all, you're disqualified from all. And that's the proposal, the hypothesis that the Gemara wants to say. Can we say, it's a question at this stage, can we say that Abai is like Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi is like Rabbi Yossi? Why? Because of this, that's the reasoning that we're proposing, that they're the same. But you'll be pleased to know, Gemara is going to say no. I can say, I don't have to say like that, no. I can explain differently and show that this brayta doesn't have to be the source of the argument, because I can understand the brayta differently with these two opinions. How do I understand the brayta differently? Like this. Aliba de Rabbi Yossi kule alma lop lige. I can say like this. I don't have to say that this dispute is actually the same as that dispute. Why not? Our first option that we're now throwing out is that Abai is like Rabbi Meir and Rabbi is like Rabbi Yossi. But now I can say no. You're right, we had this Kula Chumra split, and that fits nicely with the two cases. But I don't have to say like that. I can say that according to Rabbi Yossi, if I take them separately, and just take Rabbi Yossi now, according to Rabbi Yossi, who said that there is a difference, right? Rabbi Yossi is the one who said it matters where you were a Zomen. If you're a Zomen in a lower court, you don't get Zomen in the higher court. You don't get disqualified from the higher court, right? So according to Rabbi Yossi, I can actually say that there's no disagreement. What does he mean? Meaning that... What does he mean?
What does he mean?
Right. There's no disagreement. Meaning, in the case of Nevela, in the case we were talking about, Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi. They would both agree with Rabbi Yossi. We wouldn't have this. According to Rabbi Yossi's opinion, there wouldn't be a dispute. If we followed Rabbi Yossi, we wouldn't have a dispute between Abba and Rabba at all. We want to say that Rabba follows Rabbi Yossi and Abba disagrees with him. But if we actually look at Rabbi Yossi, Abba doesn't disagree with him. Abba agrees with him. And Rabba agrees with him. Why does Abba agree with him? We just said Abba agrees with Rabbi Meir. How can Abba agree with Rabbi Yossi? So the Gemara, because in the case of Nevela, which is the one we're talking about,
Nevela, they all agree eating Nevela does not disqualify.
Right, because according to Rabbi Yossi, eating the Vela is in this lower position. Eating the Vela is in the category of the Kula, right? The lower position. And Rabbi Yossi makes a distinction and says that the lower one does not bring you to the higher one. So according to Rabbi Yossi, Abai's position doesn't exist. Meaning, they would have to agree, they would both agree that person eating the vela is not disqualified from being a witness. Okay. And not only that, There's still what to argue on, to understand on what I've just said, but so let's just take it so far. Keep Lige, Aliba to Rabbi Meir. And when do they argue? We can say that there's no argument if we follow the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, but there is an argument only in the case of Rabbi Meir. Right? We're going to see what that argument is now. But just from those headings, we see now that there's not that split. That this one doesn't follow this one, that one doesn't follow that one. We wanted to say originally that this is a replication of that argument for these reasons. But now the Gemara is suggesting, no, it doesn't have to be that way. Because if we look at them separately, I can say that these both opinions fall within Rabbi Yossi. So they would agree according to Rabbi Yossi, but they would disagree only according to Rabbi Meir. We'll see why they disagree now. But if that's true, then they don't match up. There's a different thing going on here. According to Rabbi Yossi, they all agree, and according to Rabbi Meir, they both disagree. And it's not one following one and one following the other. That's what the Gemara is trying to do now, in order to show to them that they don't come from that source.
So let's just say outside quickly, and we'll review at the beginning of next week. Why do they disagree according to Rabbi Meir? Abai Karabi Meir. Abai, we said, is like Rabbi Meir. So the fact that Abai follows Rabbi Meir is given. That's what we already learned. But the fact Rabbi goes against him. The reason why, as kan lo kama Rabbi Meir hatam ela gabei eid zomen to mammon. Tov. You know what? We've reached 10, so let's stop here and we will start to share.